Well done. I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me back to the book of Philippians as we continue our study, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1. This great book of the Bible brings us to so many wonderful truths in this church that's encouraged to rejoice in the Lord. Paul from prison, penning these words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression that we find here in the third verse, the book of life. Paul brings them all together by saying whose names are in the book of life. And I ask this question to you. Is your name in the book of life? Is it? While you're seated here or standing here, this side of heaven, is your name already in heaven? Because you've asked God to forgive your sin and by faith trusting in Christ and Christ alone for your soul's salvation. I want you to seriously think about the question and answer it from your heart. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it? Is it there? Do you know it's there? Hold your place here a moment and turn with me back to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10. Our Lord's followers were sent out on a certain mission and came back giving reports. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Of all the things they could think about and talk about, and all the power that God revealed here as he spoke with them, he said, the thing that you ought to rejoice most in Luke chapter 10, he says that your names, verse 20, are written in heaven. I ask you again, is your name written in heaven? Do you know, as the songwriter says, that you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power and you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is the appeal the Apostle Paul made to those Christians in Philippi. He was dealing with a certain subject matter that had to do with problems arising between certain women. And he called their attention to what they had in Christ, in common what they had in Christ. I want you to look with me again in the book of Hebrews just for a moment. In the last chapter of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, the Word of God says, the writer pens in verse 18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be," what does it say? "Restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the context of restoration, things being brought back, God said, look as far ahead as you can look. See the covenant that you've entered into. Again, I read this expression. Now the God of peace, verse 20, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. If you've been born again, if you're a Christian, you're a part of this family that shares in this new birth that makes us all a part of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Think of it. Is your name written in heaven? Do you have this blood-sprinkled way of the everlasting, never changing, everlasting covenant? Look with me again, if you would please, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. God tells us that not everyone's name is going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the 13th chapter of the Revelation, the Lord tells us in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's talking about the devil and the Antichrist. Shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The deceived, delusioned world. God says there's coming a time, and on this earth there'll be such a deceived, delusion, mass of people who will worship Satan. And the thing that categorizes them, and separates them from everybody else, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask you again, while you're here, do you know for sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Look with me again, if you would please. In the 21st chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God says there's only going to be those in heaven whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let's go back to the book of Philippians just for a moment. Paul's heart's broken. He remembers those glorious days when God called him. The voice came, come over to Macedonia, and he came to Philippi. A man was calling, but he found when he went there women worshiping, and he began to witness to them. If you remember the story that we find in the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter, the word of God says in verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. It all started with a woman. In other words, this New Testament church in Europe, from the place the gospel came to us, started with a woman. And now as Paul's coming near the end of this letter to the Philippian Christians, he says to them, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Why does God give him this to write this way? He's bringing attention to the whole church. He's actually going so far as to call the names of people who are living in disruption. The letter's being read. delivered by Epaphroditus. And now they're listening intently as the believers of the church in Philippi are gathered together. They've been listening as Paul's been writing about the things I've been bringing to you from the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, he calls the names of two women. They hear their names. They know there's a problem. He appeals to them to solve their problem, to live the life they ought to be living. And he reminds them, if they're truly people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a certain behavior, Christ-like behavior, is expected of them. And the Bible doesn't jump around from place to place and skip over the problem. The Word of God reveals to us in the context of this fourth chapter what the issue happened to be. I don't know the particulars that these people had problems with, but their problem was creating a rift in the entire church body. And he appeals to them. So I say to you, do you know that your name is written in heaven? Does your name appear in the Lamb's Book of Life? Does it? Then other brothers and sisters who are part of God's family and part of the local assembly of baptized believers who have truly put their faith in Christ, their names also appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as we think about that, we think about what God expects of us. Well, you imagine they thought when their names were read aloud and now have been read for centuries. They're remembered for centuries. Sometimes people have no thought of how they'll be remembered when their behavior becomes disruptive. But God calls them out here through his word. And he says, this is what you should be thinking about. I want you to write these things down, because whether you need it now or not, someday you will. First, he said to them, remember that all of you are to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the Lord. Would you mark that, please, in verse 1? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. That's how he felt about them. He remembered with every kind of Christian fondness these people that God used him to reach with the gospel, who were used to birth this New Testament church. And he says, it's not just about birthing it and starting it. You're to stand fast in the Lord. Continue to stand. So many people get started right, but don't stay right. Something distracts them. Our eyes come off the Lord and onto someone or something else. But if our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, our behavior should reflect that we're God's children, and we ought to be people, all of us, who stand fast in the Lord. Notice, standing fast in the Lord. It's as though a command is given to warriors in a battle who are under attack. Don't surrender your place. Don't give up your territory. You've gained this ground. You're being approached by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be moved. Do you understand that you're under attack and I'm under attack simply because our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life? And so God encourages us in his word to stand fast in the Lord. Don't surrender. Stand fast in the Lord. There's a second thing. Look at it, please. We come to the second verse. He says, I beseech Euodias, and beseech, he repeats the word, syndicate, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Not only are we to stand fast in the Lord, we're to be of the same mind, like-minded. How can many people in an assembly of believers have the same mind in the Lord? Turn back just a little with me in this same book of the Bible, would you? In the second chapter, in verse 5, Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The same mind in the Lord. That's the expression used in chapter 4. And if we're using the Bible as the greatest commentary on itself, then let it interpret itself. And so in this same appeal that Paul is making under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, not only to stand fast in the Lord, he appeals to them to have the same mind in the Lord. And the mind is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a mind to be obedient to the Lord. Obedient. You see, they are to care about his body. You and I are to be dead to self. Through all these years, I've been challenged, sometimes more often than I'd like to admit, to have it my way or God's way. To do what's best for me when the decision was made at the moment. To do what's best for me or what's best for the body of Christ. To follow him. I wouldn't want to harm his body. I wouldn't want to bring reproach upon the Lord's body, the church. Paul is appealing to them and says, wait a minute, wait a minute. You women, wait a minute. Your names are written in the same book. Heaven is your home. I'm appealing to you. Stand fast in the Lord and have the same mind in the Lord. Protect God's assembly. Allow the Lord to use you to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to say a whole lot more about this, but I think enough has been said. Names have been given. Remembrances have been made. All of their lives, they'll be remembered as people who disrupted God's body, who brought reproach to his church. And the same thing that got him in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lord Jesus, is the only way to get everything straightened back out, to have the restoration made that they need. That's what God is teaching us in his word. There's a third thing here. Not only should we be expected to find that these people in the Lamb's Book of Life, as God's word says, standing fast in the Lord, not only should we find them with the same mind in the Lord, but thirdly, we should find them serving the Lord together. Serving the Lord together. One body. One Christ. One fellowship. And the Bible says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Does it mean anything that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Does it mean anything that God wants us to stand fast in the Lord and not allow a weak place in the wall God's given us to stand fast for the Lord? Does it mean anything to you that some of you have brought reproach to His body? Does it mean anything to you that we're to have the same mind, not selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed? It's not about us. It's about God and God's work and His bride. Does it mean anything to you that we are to serve the Lord as true yoke fellows, serving the Lord together? And he uses these beautiful words, fellow laborers, which labored with me in the gospel. This is what God expects of his children, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when there's a difficulty, what kind of appeal do we make? Do we say, well, we've had the defeat of demons. We've seen the devil fall. We've seen the enemy defeated. And Jesus said in Luke 10, wait a minute. Stop rejoicing in all of that. And rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. When it's all said and done, many things matter, but something matters most. We're dealing with family members in this church. We're dealing with hurting people all the time. We're dealing with people who are coming to the end of their earthly journey. We're dealing with folks who are not going to get well. And we pray for them, that God will give them grace and strength. But when it comes down to the end, what is it that matters most? That your names are written in heaven. And that's where we're headed. And while we're here, remember that everlasting covenant. It can't be taken away from you. You can't be separated from the Lord. Remember, there is a book. You're going to see it. And in that book, you're going to see your name. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. And God says, while we're here, let these things characterize your life. Stand fast in the Lord. We're giving up too much territory. I want to say on a personal note right now that churches are frightened. Many church members are frightened. Many pastors are frightened. And we've gone into a retreat mode. If you have to wear a mask, wear a mask. But get out and about for God. Live not in the spirit of fear, but in power and love and a sound mind. When we turn around and weeks and months pass by, we're going to find places that were strong in the Lord and churches that were strong bodies of believers who've given up ground they should never have given up. This is serious business. The most needed thing we have on the face of this earth is the work of God. The greatest things that exist are Bible-believing churches who are holding forth the word of life and standing for the truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. We cannot retreat now. We must stand fast in the Lord. And we can't fight among ourselves. We must have the same mind. And it's the mind of Christ. It's a mind obedient to Christ, given to Christ. And so you may have some sort of wound or some sort of problem, but there's a greater thing going on. It's God's work. And it must be done wonderfully well. We only have this opportunity to do it. And we realize not only that we have the same mind, that we are serving God together as true yoke fellows, bound together as true yoke fellows, fellow laborers doing their part, not pouting, talking constantly about themselves, what they like or don't like, and finding things to be nitpicking about when there's no thing at all. Oh, may God help us. The Lord has blessed us in this place. He has blessed us with sound doctrine. He has blessed us with clean living. We can't do that on our own. God does that. He enables us. And so we serve the Lord together. And someday, when we gather around the throne and we meet the Lord Jesus and we have the spiritual sight we need to see what God wants us to see, He sees, we see, that from the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain for our salvation. And we came to Him and asked Him to forgive our sin. And by faith, we trusted Him as our Savior. And our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's our greatest joy. Let's bow in prayer together, may we? How many of you having absolute full assurance that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is something you're grateful for? It's not something we're proud of. It's something we're grateful for. We've entered into this everlasting covenant in the blood of Jesus, and our names are written there. The chief concern we have is for anyone we know and love who's not in that book. How many of you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Would you lift your hand? Hold it high. Then by God's grace, let's be the body of believers God wants us to be. And stand fast in the Lord. The enemy is constantly trying to break through the lines. Constantly. It's his work to break through. But we must stand fast as yoke fellows. May God help us. And then have the same mind. When you flinch about something or complain about something, think, is this the mind of Christ I have? The mind of Christ is the mind of someone who's died to self, who lives in obedience to the Lord. These are not just people I pass on the street and have some casual acquaintance with. These are my yoke fellows. These are my fellow laborers. This is the army of God that God has put me with. And I'm so grateful to God for them. And I'm very thankful to God that God brings us to these gospel texts and encourages our hearts. How many of you listening to this say, I know I'm saved, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't know that, you come and let someone show you the way of salvation. Our personal workers are here now to help you, to point you to Jesus. God's convicted your heart. You know you're lost and separated from God because of your sin. There's only one way of salvation, that's in trusting Christ and Christ alone. But as God by His Spirit has examined us and pointed out to us where we have need, is it in the matter of standing fast? So I once stood fast. Well, where you left standing fast in the Lord, the enemy has come in. He may have come into your home. He may have gotten to your children when you let him in. He may have gotten to your marriage when you let him in. We must stand fast. And then you say, my mind, I need to have the mind of Christ to serve the Lord. I'm trying by God's grace to have the best attitude I can have toward the Lord, and that's something we all have to work at, so I can keep my attitude right about other people. But we are serving God together. How many of you know God has spoken to your heart in one of these areas and you need help and strength? Would you lift your hand? Hold it high. Would you please? Then in a moment we're going to sing, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." We come to know him by his precious blood. We stay clean by his precious blood. We're in this everlasting covenant by his precious blood. And as we're singing that song, inviting you to come, you leave your place and come. But how many of you think of someone you know and love, and as far as you know, from the evidence of their life, as far as you know, you believe their name most likely is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're concerned and burdened for them? Would you lift your hand? Hold it high. Would you come and call their name before the Lord? Get it on your heart and mind. Do what God lays upon your heart to do. Let's get their names written there.